The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big money at Menards. Gorilla tapes, glues, and adhesives are perfect for jobs around the house, indoors and out. Gorilla Heavy Duty Construction Adhesive has a 100% waterproof formula that provides a secure bond on any surface. From trim work to landscape block to hanging mirrors, it's all-purpose and holds in 30 seconds. Pick it up for your project and head to Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
He cleverly walked the corner of the house, pissed.
Oh, I saw that. A kid was in there.
And
which kid?
Molly.
Yeah. You didn't notice?
No. I was at the corner. I don't think anybody knew.
Nobody knew.
I saw you when I was sitting over here. I watched you pee.
Right, I know, there. But they didn't see me. That's the important thing.
Well, that's good. I walk over there and take a piss. I walk on down, and the spotlight comes on.
I'm like, the grass, and the spotlight comes in, and he turns around, and there's Catherine and Molly just sitting there looking out the window.
I was like, hey, this is not cool.
No, that's not cool, guys. Come on, don't expose yourself to my family.
I'm not. I did not.
I mean, I've got a couple of rules. That's one of them.
I respected
that's
it.
That's one of them.
I did respect it. Well, let's get back on
Come on,
keep the track.
Keep the gum sack in the wrapper.
Wait, do we want to? No.
All right. So,
where were we?
Before the break, we were talking about pizza, but like, I want to get back on track with. I think we were talking about music. Like, how did music come into your life?
Music come into my life. Oh yeah. So we're talking about. So I grew up. So I went to this elementary school in Sacramento called St. Francis Elementary School, and
is that a line?
There's that's Hannah. And there was a like a extension, like a daycare worker, like an after school worker there, Danny Reynosa, and he was a punk rock kid, and so I just grew up with this punk rock dude, and he was in this really like. Prolific punk rock band called the Secretions, played all over, and then
yeah, their tagline was "We secrete and you suck."
We secrete, you suck. As their, is their like yeah.
Shoot,
yeah,
it's really good.
The Secretions.
Yeah, right?
God. Yeah, they had songs.
We what a time to be alive.
You suck.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I grew up with that dude, and he was hilarious, and he was fun, and he was just the big brother. I remember when some kid, we'd be playing dodgeball, some kid would be being a little shit, and if you got hit in the face, you got hit in the balls, you weren't out. It didn't count. You got like a free pass.
Oh, that's nice.
So then they just hit this
kid. So the opposite of Billy Madison.
So they just hit this kid in the face and be like, oh, all right, you're still in though, yay. The kid come back in, yay. And then they hit him the balls, and he'd be like, you're still in, man, don't worry. They were like, oh, they're punishing this poor kid.
That's awful.
You know? Oh, no. It's awful. It's not awful. It's like the best. I used to play this savage game of dodgeball with those kids, and it's like, that's how little boys should grow up. You should not like bullying, but like that, like messing with you is like just the best.
The hazing.
Hazing. A little hazing.
I think that's critical, and I think that's the weird part. Maybe it's a dichotomy, like man versus woman, is like dudes really do need that. Like your best friends, if they are not constantly antagonizing you.
I know, and I just love like the people
I
love
the most.
You've
been shitting on me quite a bit.
Yeah, no, that's because I like you.
And I love that.
That's because I like you. And Ryan, the whole time I've been here, the whole time.
We're bonding.
I've been talking shit to Ryan the whole time I've been here.
As soon as he got off the plane, he started just complaining.
Just talking
shit. Somehow trying to make it my fault.
It's what the boys.
I will say, okay, so music for me, I'll just
all right,
play,
me, no,
not,
yeah,
to,
yeah.
not to take like because so,
no,
he
go
was
ahead,
in
go
it.
Ahead.
He already had like bands that he likes, but what I had kind of I've left the Midwest. I lived in Monterey for like 6 months or so. Then I moved to Sacramento. And like, I don't know what's going on musically, like a big deal. Everybody had like...
In Sacramento?
Just in general, I would say that like 311 had ran its course. Like everybody, like in that time period, 311 was doing a thing. Rage Against the Machine was at their peak. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like Rage Against the Machine.
Korn was just starting that super, Korn that heavy hardcore Korn. And
who's it? Like Limp Bizkit was starting to get started.
I don't want
to
get too off track, but do y'all, like, there was a documentary put on it with like the, it was like Woodstock 99.
I heard the one with Rage Against the Machine, the riot?
No, they call it Shit Fest.
Yeah.
Because, like, the porta potties, like.
A real garbage show.
Yeah.
Yeah. The,
well, they kept hyping up the end. They burned it. It's going to be so cool. They give everybody candles and they just.
They burned the whole thing down.
They burned it down.
Well, so around that time, so that's the music that's going around. I want to say. Sublime was getting real big around that time.
Well, Sublime. He had died.
He died.
What's his name?
It blew up.
Rome. Are you talking about
Sublime?
The owner of Moldy Dog.
Anyway.
Yeah. It blew up, man. Like so, that was like what. That's kind of like the music that I was being exposed to a lot, like, of course, and. You know, there's, like, the old stuff my dad listened to. Like, he hit me with, like, Doors and Beatles. Of course, like, I was already, like, there. But that's, like, what the my people, my age and stuff, were talking about most of the time. But, or at least into at the time. Catherine's taking a picture of me. I can't think, talk while she's doing this. But, anyway, so I meet Jesse, and Jesse's, like, punk rock. And he was the one who first introduced me
to the Offspring.
You started off with NOFX. Started off with NOFX and Lagwagon. And
I bet Propaganda. Nobody knows Lagwagon.
I don't know that. I consider myself a punk fan.
Lagwagon's one of the best punk rock bands. One of the best punk rock drummers in like ever.
Okay, so like if you were to lead someone to a record, what record of theirs would you lead them to?
I would start them with Haas.
And like if we were more specific, what song?
Ooh, that's tough, dude.
Okay, give me three. Give me three.
Rifle would be the song.
Okay, solid.
Rifle, Haas, Lagwagon.
And so I'm not sure because like these, this is like to me like these drum beats are like it's a lot. You know, it's a lot. At first I'm like, I don't know. And then he invites me to a show and we go to Bojangles, which burned
down. Really?
Wait,
I don't remember this story.
We went to go see the Groovy Ghoulies.
Okay.
And Kepi, is it Kepi?
Kepi Ghoulie, yeah.
Kepi Ghoulie, who was like, he would see you and be like, hey, how's it going? You gotta come to the show.
He's like, so like. He talks like a cartoon character.
Yeah, hey, how are you? Like, great to see you.
How's it going, guys?
Happy to see you.
You guys having a good time?
Yeah, oh, cool. You guys gonna be at the show? Great.
You know, talk like a Disney character. Like,
to me, he was like.
I got a Simpson character talking to me now.
And his whole life, like, that's how his life is. Like, I'm in the Groovy Ghoulies. I'm Kepi Ghoulie. How you guys doing? You guys having a good time?
He's like a walking soundbite. But he's I thought I was just the coolest thing ever. Because he pretty much, his performances are like, it looked like he's getting on stage. And he's performing. It's a performance. Yeah. And the music is all fun. Yeah. He like, I want to say.
Yeah, the music was just, it's just fun. It's just like, it's the whole.
So this is the first punk rock show I've been to. And, like, all these punk rock folks are there, you know, crazy color hair, people, like, and we're at this place called Bojangles. And I'm like, this is great. And he comes out, and he's got this, like, painted-on mask, like a raccoon mask. You know, they painted
on.
Zorro mask. Yeah. And then he, like, put, like Spider-Man. I want to say he had, like, Spider-Man, like silly string to where he could shoot silly string out at the audience while he was playing. It's like a Spider-Man thing though. He'd like flip it out, like, you know,
while
hit the audience.
While he's playing his instrument.
While they're all playing, and like he had like a song. Yeah, it was great, man. And then so as soon as he starts playing, it's like it wasn't like a hardcore mosh pit. It was like I was like because I'm like oh no I'm gonna get my ass kicked.
Yeah.
Because I think at a Korn.
Yeah, you're thinking
or Rage Against the Machine, you're going to get hurt. Yeah. But this was like different. It's like everybody was like bopping around and like it was fun. You know, I'm like 15, not 16 moshing. Years old. It was not, I mean, it was
nobody's getting, running into each getting other. Bloody noses.
But, well, I, but except for.
Except I got a bloody nose.
Yeah, because so I'm bouncing around. I'm bouncing around having a great time.
Well, how the hell did it happen, really?
Well, I don't know. He got a bloody nose. I got me.
So I'm bouncing around.
Some girl beat him up.
Girl beat me up because we're bouncing around and I fully handcuffed her boob, full squeezers, and I didn't mean like I did it. And
he
I
got how the, do you not know, like the crowd? No, the crowd goes forward. The crowd pushes forward.
Push forward.
Like the crowd's behind you. You're kind of jumping up and down. The crowd pushes forward, so you go forward.
I wasn't being creepy. I'm
and
like,
then the crowd, and then the crowd pushes back, and you get pushed back. And so when he gets pushed back. He throws his arms
out. Oh, okay. That makes sense.
He gets like that pushed back a little off balance and he throws his arms out.
Like, and I'm like, resetting this girl's head like
poor.
For a second.
Okay, so like what I'm picturing is
poor,
like,
innocent
you've been
young
eyeballing
lady.
It and he's like,
unsuspecting.
Like a handful of that. She doesn't that way at all.
I do
she
that
doesn't know this creeper's at the show.
Right.
Oh, okay. She's just minding her own business trying to enjoy some music.
But I'm like, oh. And I stop real quick and I'm like, in the middle of it, like, I am so. And she just decks me in the face. And I fell in love with her. That was the best. Like, I go, bam! And I was like, whoa! And like, flash of light, right?
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that was amazing! You know, that was hot!
I love punk rock.
I was born
and
for
I was
punk.
Sucked in. I was like, this is good stuff here. Just, you know, I couldn't even get my apology out. She just decked me. Yeah. And then they all started dancing again. I'm like, okay, let's get back to it.
I got punched in the face. I love punk rock.
Did she move or like she was still there for the show?
So at the end of the show, I was like, hey, I just really want to apologize. I think I completely grabbed you. And she goes, yeah, and I decked you.
By
and
the
I was
way,
like,
you ruined
did.
My fucking shirt.
Yeah.
I got blood on it.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you got me pretty good, you know, and shit. Yeah, she was as good. Yes. I got her number.
Yeah,
I did. I walked away with her number that day. That was a that was a big win.
I never met her. I don't think it lasted.
I was pretty scared to call her. I'll be honest. I had her number, but that was like win enough.
I think he got her number, and that was the end of the story.
Yeah, it pretty much was. Yeah, I was.
I think that's like a highlight.
She was she was cute and really strong, and I just I thought, well, I got it. So
well,
that to me like that's
game over.
I don't want to. I don't know if I can physically handle going any further. You know. Right?
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
I didn't know enough about punk rock, and I just thought, well, that was cool, and like you know, I was there. So.
So
that's how Ryan got into punk rock.
Okay, this is fun.
So I got into punk rock because I grew up with this dude Danny, and then just started. I was sort of telling you this earlier, and you stopped me, so we could save it. So I grew up with this dude, and then. When we were, you know, he worked at my school, Danny Secretion, and when we were in, like, 7th and 8th grade, we'd, like, started this little bullshit junior high kid punk rock band where, like, Danny was a musician, and we were all kids, and nothing really came of it. I didn't really have any talent. I didn't know what I was doing. Like, I wasn't a musician. Nobody in my family played music, and I just got a bass. And started playing bass and
why a bass?
That's a good question.
Because when he loves I moved, couches.
No,
Yahtzee.
All right, I'm gonna get sidetracked. It's so hard not to get sidetracked. I want to talk about that funny joke you made last night. All right, anyway, so. It's because when I went to high school, when I moved into high school, I was playing guitar, and they were like, well, if you want to play guitar in band, like, yeah, you play guitar, fuck you and everybody else, right? So if you want to play in a band, you have to play bass or some other instrument.
Well, that's that dichotomy of it, right?
Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, I'll play bass then. And then I started playing bass, and I just loved it. I was like, oh, this is way better than guitar. Like, this is way cooler. Like, guitar
you
players
put the
are,
groove out?
Guitar players are like a bunch of weenies, really.
Really?
Let's be honest. Yeah, I'm talking to you, guitar players.
Wow, he calling them out.
Anyway, no.
And we'll say this.
And so
like,
I just...
I really like calling people to the mat, and I'm going to second that. A bunch of weenies.
A bunch of weenies, guitar players.
Guitar players. Mm-hmm. God damn. Jesus, give it a rest, all right? We're paying attention to you.
We see it, okay?
Right? Yeah, let's all give the singer a break and let the guitar player take the stage.
What about the bassist?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I started playing bass in high school, and I just loved it way more. And honestly, this was like a year before I met Ryan, because this was at the Prissy High School I went to. And
You're out by this time. Come on.
No, this is before that. This is a year before I met Ryan. And I just loved it.
Let me just paraphrase real quick. Just say, the reason he went to that school is because he wrote a badass paper and got a free scholarship.
Oh, yeah, I got a scholarship.
So they weren't paying for this
Prissy. No, I didn't write a paper. I just was smart.
Well, there you go. You didn't hear it from me. You heard it from him.
There's no paper. It was just
I thought you wrote like a thing, and they were like,
this. No, there was no paper. It was just like, I had really, so, I always got really bad grades because I didn't do any of my work, and I blew off all my schoolwork, but whenever I had to take a test, I got 100%. Like, I was a good test taker, right?
I did the same thing, dude.
Yeah. So
these tests were a joke.
Yeah. So when I got to high school, they're like, "Whoa, we'll test you," and they're like, "Well, you have like D's and F's."
Yeah,
and,
because I don't care about this.
Yeah,
because
I was bored. Right. Right. Yeah. And it happens. I mean, it's the major issue with the school system, right? And it's why I think homeschooling your kids is such a wonderful idea. Honestly,
I really like the pod system that people are setting.
Like,
right,
yeah,
now,
credit where credit is due. Like, teaching your own kids, it makes your kids sharp and capable. And I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out.
Yeah, shout out, Catherine. Yeah, I was hanging with your
daughter.
I hung out with your daughter all day, and I was like impressed several times.
Always
she's sharp as a weapon. I know she doesn't get that from this idiot.
No.
I mean, there's a poop chart.
Yeah, I don't. I know she doesn't get that from poop chart Munson. So shout out to Catherine Munson. She's an amazing mom. I just was, you know the story. I was just over it, whatever, but I got a scholarship. I got a scholarship.
You gotta say it.
So I went to the thing, and...
Don't let me pull your teeth. Tell the story.
All right.
Would you shit on you, by the way?
Hell.
Yeah. You weren't looking Poop Chart Munson. Can everybody start calling him Poop Chart Munson? That would make me really happy.
I just want to make sure everybody knows.
I'll be back in like a year, and I hope...
We're going to talk about Munson and Brothers on a different episode, because that's going to put me in work mode, and I'm going to feel serious.
Yeah.
This podcast is dedicated relax mode, hanging out with my best friend from way back in the day mode. And so that's what you're getting.
Yeah, whatever he said is cool, but Poop Chart Munson, don't forget.
Well, he's saying this because we were all roommates. We had a chart in our bathroom that we all charted everybody's.
Molly, I hate this for you.
Everybody's number twos, and so like anytime you went in there, you had to say like you had a chart like the time, when it was, how long did it last, and the size, like large, medium, or small.
I hated this idea at the time, by the way. I like was not a fan.
But he's bringing it up now.
To talk shit about it.
Really love it. He remembers it, and he's like, that meant something.
You know,
that was like a little gem in his memory.
You gotta give credit.
I'm learning about this guy, and I think like we're gonna be lifelong friends. Is like because we're the same kind of people. I love the fact that he shits on his friends.
Yeah, I mean all the time.
I love that.
I'm like If I was at the zoo, I would be with this guy.
If I knew him better, I would shit on him.
Yeah. No, you can bring it, dude. I love it.
But I can't shit on you because I don't know.
I love this guy. I know. You got no ammunition yet.
I don't have any ammo for this.
Oh, no, dude. I know. I think that's always a wonderful thing.
This guy's that. He's that hippo that his tail, like while he's shitting, and his tail gets going and it hits all the audience. You've seen that video clip? If he was the animal at the zoo, he's that hippo. And he's just spreading his shit everywhere. Mm. Spraying down the audience. He's a great guy. I just think that's great.
Long time friends.
Yeah.
So we were talking about music, how we got into music.
So, you're at the Pristine High School and you're playing bass.
Playing bass.
A year before you met
me. Nothing, but I like doing it. So I did it a lot. I just play bass a lot, just by myself. And
honestly, any theory or like how are you learning? How are you learning?
I'm just sitting there with a bass guitar in my hands
and a CD player, and you just play the same notes.
Just listen
over.
listen to music and play music. I just played, and so for years I was just fucking around, and at some point it became kind of a party trick, right? So at some point it became...
There's no way bass guitar is a party trick.
Oh yeah, it is. People be like, oh, listen to this song. And I'd be like, I can do that. Watch this.
I don't want to give Jesse any credit. But he's pretty good on bass. And he's quick. And he plays the bass like an instrument. He doesn't play... He's not in the pocket. He's not just like backing up that guitarist. He would... I mean, if he wanted to, he could... He makes the bass sound really interesting. It's really fun. I give him credit there. I don't like it.
I don't like...
Because I know he's gonna use that.
Oh, yeah.
Does that give him energy?
No, that's... I feel powerful.
Yeah, right. I saw your little meter up a couple when I just even gave a little bit of a...
I feel charged
that
up now.
That was a downfall for the previous band that I was in. Was like...
Yeah?
I was kind of that same kind of bassist.
Are you a bass player?
I'm not a bass player, but like...
You were a guitar player who got relegated?
Yeah.
Right? That's so normal, it hurts.
Yeah.
I mean, most bass players are
guitar
players.
Cut a little deeper, if you will. Like, could you exit?
Yeah. No, I got more. Just stop interrupting me. I'll fuck you up.
Oh, come on. But, we went into recording a song, and, like, after a week of, like, everybody listening to it, it was like, the front man was like, that bass is just too much.
No. Oh, too much. See, that I play bass like a guitar player.
And I was like, yeah. Dude, I'm trying to set the mood.
No, I run into that all the time. And I run into that all the time. And I have the opposite problem. You know, I'm always like, hey, all right, we were talking about this earlier, my old guitar player. I'm like, all right, bro, like, I had this guitar player, I was in this band called Urban Wolves for a long time.
Okay, a little more on that before you dismiss it.
I had this guitar player, and I had this incredible drummer, I mean, named Matt Linehan from Sacramento. He's a doctor, phenomenal drummer, great dude. And him and I would go back and forth.
Heart surgeries and shit.
No, he's a pharmacy doctor.
Okay.
He's like, it gives people drugs. Even better than surgery, you get drugs.
Likeable.
Brilliant dude. Super likeable. Phenomenal drummer. Just sick drummer. And we would just talk shit to each other the whole time. Like, just... He had this intro to this song that was like a minute and a half long. It was insane. It was ridiculous. And one day, we're at practice, and he misses one hi-hat hit in this middle of this just enormous roll, crazy, psycho, misses one hi-hat, and I put my hand across my throat like, all right, stop, 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 stop. And everybody gets quiet, and I go, hey, do you think we should change that intro, or did you want to learn how the fucking song goes, dude?
Ooh!
Ooh. And he'd deal it back, because I knew he was a badass, and he knew I knew he was a badass, so I could say whatever I wanted to this dude. Like, we just messed with each other all the time, and it was just the most constructive, because I could just go, oh, try it like this.
Most destructive.
No, it was incredible. I could go, look, try it this way, and he'd go, no, that's wrong. It should go this way, and then we go, all right, let's play it your way. And we play it his way for like 10 seconds, and then I go, all right, my way. We play it my way for 10 seconds, and then inevitably we both agree. We'd be like, all right, number one. Like, that's it, and we move on. And we wrote some of the coolest, unbelievable music. He was an unbelievable drummer. But I had this guitar player who was just a fucking baby.
They always are.
Just a baby. And what would happen, it was we'd write these great drum and bass parts, and it would sound unbelievable. It would sound sick, and then he'd turn up his guitar. And I'd be like, hey.
Of course.
You know how it sounds sick right now? Don't change that into another thing. we want to keep it sounding, you know how you're like feeling it right now? Let's keep it there.
Yeah.
Don't turn up your amp. So one day, to try to teach him this lesson, I came to practice and I was like, hey, there's some issues going on with my amp. I need to like fix it. And so every time he'd turn up, I'd turn down. And so eventually it just became just guitar and drums and it sounded terrible.
He was digging it though, wasn't he?
No, he hated it.
Oh, didn't he?
They were all looking around like, what? This is awful. Like, what? It was just real uncomfortable. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, guys. I just got to fix it. I don't know what's wrong with my amp. I just got to fix it.
Because
I just wanted to be like, this is what you sound like. Like, this is like what you sound like solo,
it's what you
loud.
Want.
Stop turning this up. Keep it in the pocket. Keep it in the mix. Stop putting this is what you're putting over the top of everything, right? Your guitar.
What a way.
So I was trying to turn him down.
And so, I'll say this, and like it may be too much, but
no, go ahead.
One thing that about Columbus, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And I do want to shout out to like Harder Road and like Alec Hawkins, and I believe they're great musicians and like. They're great for this community.
Sorry, who did you just mention? Are those specific musicians?
Yeah, they're here in this town. You would like Hardle Road a lot.
Hardle Road.
That's their last name. For most of the members and
Alec Hawkins is with like Alec Hawkins. But he's like filmed and written books and he's just a creative type.
Right. Yeah.
But like when Dude, I think
a lot
about
of creative types when, out here.
But when I was a teenager and. And you may have stories like this, Ryan, yeah. You may too, but when I was a teenager, like when I was venturing over into Columbus and like even when I was coming into age in my early 20s before I moved down to Mobile, when I thought about the sound of Columbus, the Right Moves, and Lance Cooper, John Wright.
Lance, your Lance?
His Lance. And so,
yeah.
And
I met him today.
Yeah, and Kleber and.
Kleber's a drummer. You'd have fun with him.
Dude, we're gonna play some music.
But John Wright. Fit it in. John Wright was the bass player. And the thing that I'll say about John Wright is the most humble human being and the most gentle person when it comes to music critique.
Yeah.
And
I'm not that gentle.
I really love the way that he handles
that's
that.
Tough,
because
dude.
like being the bass player, because like I like totally, especially if it's punk.
Well, and I'm an asshole. I'm an asshole.
Come on,
you know.
No, he
come
is. On. I'm he an is. Don't
like a little.
Don't try to talk.
I mean, I'm a nice guy. Like deep down.
Sometimes being an asshole is good quality.
I'm not
going to
pick
it's
like.
He does it in a particular way.
John Wright's the opposite.
Like
you should meet John Wright
like
before you leave.
Like I wouldn't pick on Ryan.
You should
you
should meet John Wright before you leave.
Because I just
but
feel
like
bad.
John Wright's a bass player. He's also he plays guitar. He does a lot of great shit.
Yeah.
But like
no, I do, and I love that too. I love those people that are like.
But like, dude, I'm telling you, like the Right Moves at that time in Columbus.
I think they're playing Friday.
What?
At Muncie Brothers.
How about that?
How about that? Oh, gee,
so,
did he not know that? You think he's not?
He didn't know.
But
he didn't know.
I did not know. But
I was trying to.
That was
teed you up so good.
When I think about Columbus during that time, 10 years ago or whatever, it was like when I thought about.
I came to Columbus 10 years ago.
When I thought about Columbus, I thought about the Right Moves, you know.
Yeah.
And I think about those members, and especially now that I know Lance and John and. Cleaver and all the cats.
Well, I've been here about Lance for years. I just met him tonight. He was really cool.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I had to leave early, but that was, yeah. I've been hearing all these stories for years and years.
He's my
bromie.
Dude.
I'm finally getting
solid. Lance is like one of those dudes who.
Finally getting to meet all these people. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's
it's great.
A giver, man. He's so sweet.
Dude, I love it out here. I mean, you guys just have the biggest, like, it's just like a family out here. It just feels so good. It feels so. It's like how we grew up, you
that's
know?
Right.
Like,
that's right.
It's like.
We got a good circle. Is that the last one?
It's,
I hope not.
It's like what my house was, you know? Like, we had that house, but it's like.
Right.
This is like the whole town.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, dude. Is there any.
Shall
we? I was down in the hole when you came along, busted up and dragged along. I was doing fine, just sitting on the shelf. The bluest blue was around my bed, on the walls and in my head. But somehow now there's a new light shining through. From the highest highs and the lowest lows, get me back to the middle, put my feet on the floor. I'm going nowhere fast, but you won't let go. Yeah, I know I don't say it, but I love you though. You're the sweetest things, yeah, they sneak up fast, knock you down and fly right past. Here today, then it's hiding out again. When you're near, I can hear a hum, soft and low like a summer sun. It's the prettiest sound I think I've ever heard. From the highest highs and the lowest lows, you give me back to the middle, put my feet on the floor. Going nowhere fast, but you won't let go. Yeah, I know I don't say it, but I love you though. Yeah, life gets slow with a stroke of luck. It's hard to see with things sped up. I could tell you this, you already know. From the highest highs and the lowest lows, you give me back to the middle, put my feet on the floor. I'm going nowhere fast, but you won't let go. Yeah, I know I don't say it, but I love you though.
Did you just tell me a little bit on a podcast?
You going to talk on the phone all night, or are we going to make a rock and roll record?
You guys were outside doing like a circle type thing. I watched it. I was in the side. I was like, God, I had it.
I had his thing. Yeah. He had mine. Right?
I know.
We're just holding hands a little bit.
It's like, I thought it was like a weird, like a helicopter, like a hydraulic machine going
around. I really wish that everything on that porch was captured.
All I know, we could
call.
Harness that kind of energy, like that, we would not have the crises of energy and power.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind. Yeah. Y'all could. There's no doubt.
Y'all could get a freight train going.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was impressive.
If we had one more, two more, it could have been the circle jerk of the nation.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. That was. Oh,
at the first I thought you were all smoking cigarettes, but then I realized
that's a cover.
The heat.
That's a
coming
cover.
Coming off your bodies.
That's.
All right, so we got sidetracked. We got once again, like I think we bombarded ourselves.
Sidetracked. So we're talking about me. We want
to get back to the music.
We've been trying to talk about you starting in the music. Have you met me yet?
I was talking about it the whole time.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So
no, go ahead.
Yeah, I met you.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Met you. So anyway.
No, I mean you were talking about like.
So I was just playing. And fucking around and sitting there with the bass all the time. I don't know what I was doing, but it was a party trick. That's where we were.
So no theory.
No, I don't know shit. It's a party trick, and people would be like, "Oh, this song's sick," and I'd be like, "I could do that. Watch this. Play the little riff or whatever." And that's what it was for years. And I just like playing, and I just fuck around. And it was like, I just like to show off. I just wanted to like, oh, I could do that. Look at this.
I remember because one of the times I came to his house after school, he had learned how.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Higher ground.
And so he's like, you're playing flea shit.
Yeah, he's like, look what I could do.
Yeah, look what I could do.
Look what I could do.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's all I was. That's all I was ever doing. I was
like, and he would, his face would get bright red. He'd sit there, pop on it, and he would just, and we'd be like, well, shit, he got it. I think he's figured it out.
Yeah, just some bullshit party trick. And then I moved in with this dude, Mickey Rat. I don't know what his real name is.
That's fine.
Mickey Rat.
He's
probably the best.
Punk rock bass player. We were living together for a while, and one day I was sitting on the front porch playing the bass and just being a dickhead and fucking around, and the front door burst open, and he stuck his head out, looking around, trying to figure out who was playing, and he looks over at me, and we've been living together for like a year, and he goes, "That's you?"
Shit.
And I was like, yeah, man, I'm just...
What did that mean?
Fucking around. Cause he was like, he's like, who is this motherfucker playing bass? And I've been living with this dude for a year.
And this guy's
You fast forward like 10 years, just then. Went from messing around at your house before we even met.
Oh yeah, well we had a band.
We did.
I skipped that part.
Let's talk about that. It's cool.
No, you're right. You're right.
We had a band.
Ryan Munson and I had a band.
We wrote
some good songs. We do some vocal harmonies. I mean,
I'm going to work. We're kids, you know.
We're 17. And we'd write these songs, and it was just, I mean, I call that a party trick. Because it would be like, my mom would be like, play your song. Play your song. Like, okay. It was like a little, like, you know, dance monkey dance kind of party performance, right?
Dude, I can totally. But they I were can good. Totally relate to that.
They were good songs. Like they were good. Like Ryan's got
he
a gift.
He still writes good songs.
Ryan's got a gift. I mean, he's like kind of.
Nah, he's being nice to me.
Shut up.
He's like half retarded, but he's not all retarded.
Yeah.
Never go full. You're right.
There we go.
Yeah, you never go full retard.
Right, that's right. That's it. Never.
Remember Sean Penn? No. I am Sam.
That was one of my favorite movies.
Oh, Tropic Thunder, dog.
Oh, dude.
We just connected again.
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies.
We'll spoon again later. Get back to the story.
Yeah. So yeah, we had a band. We write music, and Ryan was just prolific, man. Ryan just like is a creative dude and just like, wants to build shit. And I'm not. I'm like...
Sleeping. You had to be poked by a cane pole.
I get into stuff. I get into stuff, and I get psycho about stuff, but it's always solo. And so I always need somebody else to kind of go, hey, we're going to do this thing.
Now, Jesse is a natural born editor.
And yeah.
All, it's great because I could just take some crap. It made it really easy for me.
So you're like a producer kind of way.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of. Yeah. So I can go and take it to him. I say, hey, what do you think about this? And
it would be he could kind of turn it into something.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, like something. I need something to focus on.
What do you think about his new stuff, Ken Rabbit?
Yeah, dude, I like it. He was playing all of it for me last night. I like it. And that's what I was saying.
I'll put you on the spotlight.
We're trying to do this week.
I think it's great.
I'm only here for a week.
You know, my drummer, Matt Mason, like he plays you every day on
really?
Spotify.
Really? So that's so sick. So I'm that telling Ryan.
Dust.
Really? Oh, really?
So here's what I want to do with Ryan this week. I want to get together. I want to maybe find a drummer, maybe not. Maybe just, you know, maybe just a bass guitar.
You guys are flattering.
I want to record a song. I want to finish one of those songs. I'm going to come back after
it warms up. Why don't we all get together?
We should do that.
Let's make a song together while you're here.
We'll finish one.
I'd love to. I just want to finish, like... Because we talk about it and we throw back and forth ideas, and he sends me his stuff, you know, when I'm in California.
He's an animal,
I know. When I'm a lazy motherfucker, so I'm like, well, I could practice or I could go lay down. I know which one I'm going to choose, you know?
I get probed so in the rectum a little bit.
And I, there's something.
poking at you.
Like, I know what gets me laid. So I'm like, let's give you shit now.
Yeah, it's,
see, he likes see, it. There you go.
He just keeps saying, like, let's do it.
I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I want to finish one of these songs. I'd love to do that, and then I'm going to come back when it gets warmer, and we're going to do some more.
We have, so it was really fun, because I still don't know much about guitar or any of it, but I would have a blast.
Ryan Munson's a guitar player now, dude. I was listening to him play last night. That fool's a guitar player. I don't care what he says. Pussy ass bitch guitar player.
I had a blast. What I would do is I would write some words and I would have a beat and I would have to sing the beat to Jesse. That's what I would do. Not say, hey man, it sounds like you'd be like
I was in a quote unquote band with this idiot. And he'd be like, oh, I wrote this song. And I'm like, cool. I guess I'll just write a song for you now, you fucking lemming.
Yeah, well. But he would do it and then he would play what I sang to him.
Oh no. No, Ryan was brilliant. I'm giving him shit. He was brilliant, dude. He wrote all these great songs.
He would play what I sang to him.
He just go, I'm like, all right, let's try it.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means, but let's try it.
Yeah.
All right. I know. I loved it. So we started this band, and we were playing music, and some of those songs were sick. I mean, I was hanging out with a girlfriend of mine recently, and... She was playing. We were listening to some of those old songs. I mean, you weren't. Unfortunately, you had already moved away.
Yeah. I wasn't singing them at that time. You were.
So I was singing them, and you weren't involved. But so I was much. Like, these songs were good,
dude. So like, it was really weird because right as like we were doing stuff, and they were good songs. They were fun. Man,
they were good songs. They were good.
They were fun.
They weren't. They weren't even okay. They were good.
Well, you. Guys, well, we hooked up with this drummer. He came from Rodney. It's his uncle.
Oh, yeah.
Remember Bob?
Yeah, Bob.
And Bob played with Social D.
Yeah.
Bob, Social Distortion.
Yeah, my first drummer used to be in Social Distortion.
Somehow, we land...
Drop a name, why don't you?
Right? We land a drummer who played with Social Distortion.
Social Distortion.
Yeah, which is one of the all-time best punk rock bands ever.
You bunch of pussies.
Tube Tops, $5. We saw Tube Tops. But...
Sorry. Go ahead.
But the thing is, we had...
We're vibing. Oh,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Good, please. No, continue. You're new.
You guys are smoking off the mics.
No, we're just adding context.
Yeah. So, anyways, and so we land this guy, and then I move. I moved back. Oh, yeah. I moved to Memphis. So it was like, we've got Bob.
By the way, I'm moving to Sacramento. Like, I think we're roommates.
He just bailed out. Dude, I was so happy he left, man. I wasn't getting any girls, man. This dude was stealing all the girls. I was like, oh, my God, thank God. Dude, I was just so popular all of a sudden after he left.
Oh, man. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Well, they all had to mourn together.
We had to
mourn, heal wounds. Jesse's over there healing wounds. Yeah, that's what was happening.
Dude, not to sidetrack too much, but, like, I wish this was same conversation every time I went to Memphis to cover Star and Massey. And that was so beautiful, like, to have Josh and Nick, Jeff and Jeremy, and just to do each of that individually like that.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't know him from Adam's House Cat, but just because of Ryan's word, like, once again, like, same with you. It's like, just because Ryan said so.
No.
It's totally on.
Good people are good people, man.
Yeah.
Good people are good people.
So, I mean, thank you. And, like,
you too, man. I mean, I feel the same way.
Huge shout out.
He's like, we got to do this. And I'm like, all right, dude, this guy's probably cool.
Yeah, he calls me. He's like, I'm picking up this guy from the airport. And he should really be on the show.
Yeah.
And here we are.
This is fun.
He saw it.
Not to derail too much. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, it's all good. No, so I moved to Memphis. And next thing I know, they are recording with this drummer from Social Distortion. They're in Phoenix. And they're recording, or was it Phoenix, Flagstaff, somewhere in Arizona, Phoenix
and Tempe,
and they're recording, and like I feel like I'm so missing out. But
oh, dude, I know. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
it's sorry. Okay. It's
well, just, a lot of them, and to be fair, a lot of the music was his. Like a lot of the, like he was such a huge contributor that it was like, hey man, we're playing some of your songs.
Yeah, like, it's like, oh, like this is your great song. Yeah, I'm really cool. You know, I've been hanging out in the internet cafe because that's the sign of the time.
I got a lot of baked beans.
Yeah, I got a lot of baked beans, of course. No, it all came out, you know.
Oh, I know.
But
we got one of those songs. One of those songs. Which one is it? Dear Mister.
Dear Mister. So that's Jesse's song that I've been fucking with over the years.
Over the years, and it's good. I heard it last night.
I played it. Actually, it played out on his podcast.
I'm sure he's heard it.
Yeah.
Because Ryan never shuts the fuck up about shit. You know, he just like drives it home and drives it home. You're like, all right, Ryan, give it a rest.
Well, I'm a little bit. I don't stop, do I? Well, it makes for great for podcast.
Oh, dude. No. So that's one of the ones I'd love to do, that one.
Yeah, well, we can mess around with that one again.
But yeah, let's get together. Let's play some music.
Totally, yeah.
But that was written when we were 17, that song.
Yeah.
It's an old one.
Yeah, I was, to be fair, just like, disclaimer, I was way smarter when I was 17 than I am now. Like,
yeah.
You know, don't do drugs, kids.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So, let's run it up to today.
So yeah,
I don't want to get too far ahead, but like
no. So yeah, but that ended up not working out. Well, like you guys created that album, and then Bob got on heroin. And when Bob got on heroin,
no,
I thought Bob got on heroin.
I don't know. He might have.
I thought he had like a battle with heroin or something.
Well, yeah, I mean he was a. He was a thing. What
that
happened,
might be rude to say. Bob might hear this, but
no, he didn't. Bob.
I don't know.
Whatever. Bob stole my whole fucking album. He like re-recorded.
Right. He took the album.
Yeah. So whatever. Bob could go fuck himself. No. What happened was, I got mad, like I do.
Yeah, he does.
I got mad, and it was just the whole thing was a pain in the ass.
How mad are you gonna get at me after this drops?
Oh, dude.
Mad.
Yeah, Superman.
He's going to tell you how it should
be. I might send you angry emails.
Dude, as long as you don't send me the worst hate
I'm going to use harsh
words. So when it says to whom it may concern, just know you're in trouble.
The worst hate
because you're who it concerns.
The worst hateful email. Like, most episodes go like this, and I don't know how I rub this person so raw, but like, it's like a...
This happened, has this happened more than once?
Well, it's happened twice.
Oh, yeah? That's
like,
a yes.
I'm not even married anymore, but like they were, I think they were like just casting this on me. It's like,
I hope your wife gets raped and your children get raped. And I'm like, oh. Well, that's quite a bit.
Somebody said that to you?
That's a fan email, right? You go to the contact page of porttalk.net and you just fucking diss me, I guess.
Really? Like, no. They went right for
the throat? They went right for the throat. And it's like, your wife.
Maybe they meant rope. You know? Maybe they accidentally hit an A and so, I don't know. I'm trying to think of maybe.
Yeah, I think like for the most
part. Maybe they meant grape. Like they,
it's like most of the time I spend the show like shitting on myself. Ryan's a good writer. Like, I don't need your help. I don't need your help shitting on me. Okay, I can shit on me properly.
Right. Catch you in the right mindset. You're just.
Yeah.
Oh no. Yeah, no,
I just wrote back. I was like, thanks.
You know? No, I don't get mad like that. He was just a dick for a long time, and I was just finally like, dude.
See, I thought I thought that he just got back on drugs.
No.
Or that he was dealing
with drugs. Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what he's doing?
I don't either. I don't know.
We were like,
I was in Memphis, so I don't know why or where that came from. 19
in a band with like a 38-year-old.
Yeah, he was an older dude, man.
Yeah, he was way older. And we did some music, and it was just like this freak thing. We were out in Arizona recording an album. We did sneak into a strip club.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
And they're like, all right, if anybody asks, we went to Tempe to the strip club, and they're like, all right, if anybody asks, I was with my guitar player, my drummer, and my engineer. And they're like, if anybody asks, your social D. And I was like, all right. So we walk up to the door. We're not old enough to be in this place. We walk up to the door, and this huge bouncer, like, puts his hand on my chest and goes, hey, man, I'm going to need some ID.
Social D.
And I looked him up and down and walked past him.
Dude.
It's like a dick.
Owning it.
Yeah, you know? That's how you get into a place.
Yeah.
That's what we were talking about earlier, like with ladders and clipboards.
And my engineer walks up and he like apologizes for me. Sorry, man. He's like a rock star, blah, blah, blah. Leave him alone. God. And then I had this like spiky, crazy, like Johnny Rotten hair at the time. And I don't have any hair now. Don't. Please don't comment. I just...
No, nah, that's a low. That's too easy, man. Yeah, that fruit's
pictures.
Too low.
We're taking pictures.
That fruit's rotten. It's too low to the ground.
I sit at the bar, and this guy comes up and goes, hey, man, I really like your hair.
Skin rug and things.
And I was like, yeah. And I grabbed his tie, and I was like, you got a cool tie. I was just like playing it up so hard. Man.
This guy.
Yeah.
So hard playing it up.
And
we were like 18-year-olds in Phoenix.
You just reminded me.
So you had already left at this time? 18?
He left. Yeah,
I was left.
How old are you?
I'm 18. Same I'm 18. Age. And so I had, what I did is I moved to Memphis. I got a job fixing watches. I was working at a watch repair store.
Dakota?
Mm-hmm. And I became a manager like within a month. They just gave me the keys to the place. And I was working in this weird... I worked at this place. It was called the Oak Court Mall in Memphis.
And
a kiosk in the middle of it.
It's literally that's where I learned about. Now, right?
Huh?
Literally nothing.
No, I think the Oak Court Mall is actually the only one that's like doing anything.
It's shit.
It's I worked in the Oak Court Mall.
Yeah, and later on, Jesse came and lived with me. Once you know, I got some roots there. You know,
yeah, that says a whole lot about the friendship that you were willing to go halfway across the country.
Yeah, I know. I'm a fucking awesome dude.
Oh,
right?
Really?
Like, does he
really?
Even
does he?
Does he even
you set deserve, him up for this?
Does I mean, he even how, deserve me?
No. How bad was that?
I wonder about that.
I don't.
Sometimes.
I don't deserve.
Hey, Alan, what do you think?
Does he
deserve me? Like it's weird.
I don't,
like because
I don't. Really,
are you putting me in this situation right now?
I don't deserve him.
I have had some cool memories.
But we did have like
we're making memories.
There was a moment I can't wait to tell. Like I want to say this.
Oh, what moment?
I know this story. This story is too long, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway.
Yeah,
my greatest moment.
Ryan's moment. Ryan Munson's greatest moment, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I had kids and I got married, but my greatest moment.
Yeah.
Yo, I was living. So he was there. In Sacramento, I just moved, and his family always embraced me. Thank goodness they did, because I was a nutcase and I needed embracing. Yeah. And they were going on a trip to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Yes.
And they,
yes, this is good.
They got a flat down there for like $600, and they're like, all you have to do, right? Matter of fact, we'll buy your ticket, just pay me back.
Yeah.
She keeps a good strict book. His mom.
All right, like, let's not fucking fuck around. Brian Munson was my babysitter.
Yeah, well,
like, we need you to watch Jesse.
All right, so Jesse was moody, and he never wanted to leave the house. He was an introvert all the way.
And yeah, I you had to poke him in the rectum. Right, to get going.
And I've been doing that. Like, I mean, he's metaphoric, but I've been being like, I was always the guy. Like, come on, get your shoes on. Let's go outside. Let's go do something. Come on, man.
Yeah.
We gotta go do
get
something.
Get your shoes on.
Because I can't.
He'd always say, Ryan Munson. My whole childhood was Ryan Munson. I'd be sitting somewhere. He'd be like, get your shoes on, man. I'd be like, dude, I don't want to do anything.
He never knew his shoes were.
I'd be like, I don't want to do anything, man. I just want to sit here. He'd be like, that's fine. You can sit here. Just get your shoes on. I'm like, dude, I don't want to do anything.
Next thing you know, I'm downtown.
He'd be like, get your shoes on. Just get your shoes on. You don't have to go anywhere. And just get your shoes on. And the next thing I know, we'd be on some lunatic
adventure. And he would have a great time. But anyways, so I got invited all the vacations because they didn't want to take on Jesse. Let Ryan take on. And they would even like be like, we really need you to talk to Jesse about like his grades. Or like, I don't know, is this always, I'd be like, Jesse, what do you think about this? And he would give me this 15-20 minute rant on why he was right, and I would let him have that.
And I'm like, well, you should think about that. I mean, I was, though.
I'm like, you should think about that, though, because your parents care. Anyway, it's a huge sidetrack. So, I'm going to Puerto Vallarta, and I, just another sidetrack. His mom's like, hey, man, Montezuma's Revenge is a big deal. Drink some Pepto-Bismol.
You know what that is?
I have no idea. Please tell me.
It's like if you drink a little bit of the water, you're going to get a bacteria.
Montezuma's Revenge is like dysentery.
Yeah, it's like you just poop. Like you, it's like your butt water, turns into a super soaker.
You get sick.
You just spray everywhere. It's really, really bad. It's like it ruins trips for gringos all the time when we go down there and drink the water because it's
got the water.
Bacteria and stuff that we're not, as Americans, used to because our stuff's clean. Like, so... You don't drink the water. You keep your mouth closed in the shower. That kind of stuff. Anyway, so have some little Pepto-Bismol so it helps prevent. And I didn't realize this little. I drank an entire bottle of supersized Pepto-Bismol. So you didn't know this, but I was
pooping. I don't know the story. This is new to me.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So I pooped coal for like, if you drink an entire thing.
You drink?
I drank an entire supersized bottle of Pepto-Bismol. You will drink the rabbitest ass. Like nuggets of coal.
Yeah.
That's what you poop. It's messed up. So that whole week, I was having serious. Like, everybody else got Montezuma's Revenge, I think, while we're there.
I didn't, but.
You and I didn't. Did.
No.
But anyway.
Well, I did it without drinking a bottle of Pepto-Bismol.
Well, yeah. Good for you.
I know.
Yeah. What an outlier. So, anyways, we go and I meet this really pretty Mexican girl.
Oh my god.
She was gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah, she was like kind of like a blonde. She didn't speak very good English, but you know, Jesse growing up in California, everybody in California speaks a little bit of Spanish, you know.
Spanglish.
They got a little bit of that stuff.
Yeah.
I am a Midwestern Memphis kid. Southern kid, I don't know. I don't know anything, and I'm over here buying this girl beer and sitting by the pool trying to communicate with her, and we're having a great time, but I don't know what we're talking about, and so I go and get Jesse, and Jesse starts.
Oh, no. I was sitting on the balcony, reading a book.
Hey, looking out because
I couldn't get him to
pull it out. What did you pull out?
Pizza. You want some pizza?
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's a pizza right there. You want some?
I'll fuck with that later.
So I'm looking out the balcony reading a book, and I'm like, Ryan's in the pool with a beautiful woman. What are they doing? And I could go back to reading my book, and I look back, and they're still talking. They're like on a chair. They're drinking Budweisers. I'm like, what the hell? What is Ryan doing? He's in torn off jean shorts.
Yeah, I really like that freaking.
And a wife beater. Like, he really likes that.
Tom
like,
Sawyer, dog.
Hot dub tee look. You know what I'm talking about?
You're a phone man.
Come on. Let's paint a fence, man. Let's get on this
hard ride. Hard trailer
let's
park.
Let's go south, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you're all the way.
So I'm like, what? So after a while, I'm watching him out there. I'm like, what? Okay, I got to see this. Like, what's going on?
Finally. Because I couldn't get him to get his shoes on.
Oh, I was there for an hour watching him.
Couldn't get his shoes on.
Put my book down. Go down there.
What are you reading? Mark Twain?
No. Oh. I remember what you were reading. You were reading Black Hawk Down.
Was I?
Yeah.
I read
15 books that time. 15 no, books.
Not we were 15. In Mexico. I read 12 books.
He was like, 12.
All Jack London. He was reading.
He just God. Reading. He's digesting.
Perfect Storm. I remember Perfect Storm. I read on that trip.
Nerd.
Black Hawk Down. You know.
He read so many. He was reading all these. I don't even know if he read them. He was just.
I'm a nerd.
Oh, yeah. I know that guy.
I'm a nerd.
He's the fastest reader.
So I'm like, I gotta go check this out. And I walk down there. She speaks no English. He speaks no Spanish. They've just not been speaking to each other for an hour, hanging out together. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but we were connected, you know?
They're into each other.
Stuff's oh, deeper. God. Stuff goes deep, you know?
What's her name? Letty.
You remember Letty? Okay. Letty. She was cool. So
she was hella cool.
So all of a sudden, Jesse turns into a translator, and he keeps calling us all el stupido banditos. He keeps calling us stupid cow the whole time. But
we met.
Whatever. It was all good. And she's like, you guys should come with my family out on the town because they were on vacation. Because Puerto Vallarta is where like Mexicans go to
touristy.
The Mexicans go to freaking vacation in Puerto Vallarta. Yeah. It's nice, man. Predator was shot there. Arnold Schwarzenegger, all that stuff. Like, there are a bunch of movie scenes. Matter of fact, I think Sylvester Stallone or Arnold Schwarzenegger or whatever owned the house, like, two doors down from where we were staying. It was something weird like that. And so she's like, you should come out with my family. And we're like, yeah, okay. Well, we didn't know this, but this girl had, like, six extremely attractive cousins. And they were all women. And so it's us and these seven attractive Spanish women.
It also occurs to me that it might have been a prostitution ring.
I never thought about that. You think so? Huh. Wow. Anyways,
now that you think about it.
But she, possible. It may be. I mean, it may be. Huh, I don't know. Because the dad, we went and ate to this like little restaurant. I ate tacos.
Seem like that. It didn't
the
seem
dad
like that,
paid for our meal.
These gringos. Yeah.
The dad came up. He paid for our meal. Super cool. Don't know why he did that, but it was like because down there you're like if you're a gringo like you're the one who pays. Mm-hmm. But he's like took care of us, and she's like my dad just bought our meal, translated through Jesse, and I'm like oh, thank you, sir. You know, that's awesome. And then they take us not to the gringo bars. They take us to a Mexican bar. And so we go to this Mexican bar, and there's a mariachi band. It kind of looks like a cafeteria because it's just like this big open room with like picnic tables all connected with like the checkered picnic, like the checkered tablecloths. And it's like, I feel like the lights were almost fluorescent, like they were just bright and blinding. She's trying to teach me how to dance, and I'm a terrible dancer. And she's trying to teach me how to salsa dance, and I'm playing with her, and she's like, this girl's, she's cool. And there's like I said, there's six other beautiful Spanish women, and me and Jesse. And pretty quickly, like, and then the bar, the beers were so cheap. It was like, buy one, get one free night. And I want to say it was like
10 cents.
It worked out to like 10, like a nickel beer. Like you buy a beer for 10 cents, buy 10 one, get one friend.
I would die.
And I was going all for the girls. Buy them all for the girls. And I like,
really
dude, I had my watch job, like, but I might as well been a mogul. Like I might as well been a, yeah. like a, I felt like I was King Tut.
Yeah, we were poor teenagers and we were just buying like, oh, another
drink. And here I am. I'm 18. I can drink in this bar. Right. I've got seven beautiful Latino girls. Jesse's with me. I got the next round. So we've got. And then quickly the bar realizes, like, the dudes at the bar realizes, like, we're at the table with all the hot girls, and it's us. And I can't speak a lick to any of these women I've been hanging out with.
No Spanish.
But Jesse.
And you're getting them drunk.
we're like drinking, and the mariachi bar is the mariachi guys are doing their things, you know, the guys with the
beef and taco kind
of thing. And all of a sudden these dudes just start kind of collecting around us.
That's right.
And so we're like, we're just having a good time. And all of a sudden, the girls look at me.
Oh no, I remember the dude, some dude was talking to one of the girls. And I was watching. I was like the one who understood really broken Spanish. So I was watching one of the girls and this dude talking to her. And she looked really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And I leaned over to Ryan and I was like, hey, I think this girl wants that guy to leave her alone. I don't know what to do. Yeah. And we're just apart in the middle, like, in the middle of nowhere. The middle of Mexico.
We were the only gringos.
The only white guys.
This place is not for us.
That's
and and we're surrounded. So Jesse tells me that somebody needs to tell this guy to go. And Jesse and I look at each other like, ugh. And I knew that his look was, it's going to be you.
Yeah, I think this guy's bothered this girl. And Ryan looks at me. And we both stand up. We both like stand up. And Ryan points and goes, I think you better go.
Yeah.
The guy. It was just a moment. I just felt like that was like 20.
It's like, I feel like that moment.
Yeah, it was like 20 like seconds 20, of silence.
30 and seconds. Go. Yeah, it was like, it's time for you to go.
You're like, he just went, I think you need to go. And like pointed away.
And pointed at like, him and pointed
it
away.
It felt like an eternity. And then the guy went,
okay,
and it was
man.
Like him and his 20 friends.
He's like, okay.
And he went, okay, okay. And they all left.
Okay, okay.
And Ryan looks at me like this. And just goes.
Yeah.
Tracks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wiping the sweat from the brow. It's like, how did this happen this easy?
Yeah. Woo. I was like, cervezas like, for everyone.
This is where we disappear. Into the middle of Mexico. And nobody ever finds our bodies.
Yeah, that was my moment.
Oh, my
man.
God.
That was my moment.
It was incredible.
You had a moment.
I had that. I always have that moment.
Well,
the time. Yeah, it was good.
I think you better go. And I'll never forget you sitting down and going,
yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, watch out. Watch out. Watch out. Watch out, Tiger.
That was my moment, man.
That was brilliant.
Oh.
Get on in here. Get on in here.
What?
He's got the pillows behind him, so he can't snuggle up in the. Jesse just knocked over his chair. He got into the story.
I didn't do that. That didn't happen.
That did happen.
Twice. Never wrong or right.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.